Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
All right, welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here, and man, we got a fun one today. I was out at King of the Hammers this week. You know, that little teeny off-road race. Actually, they call it the Burning Man of off-road, like 50,000 people in the middle of nowhere, California desert, and all kinds of fun. Caught up with a bunch of my Polaris Razor familia, and I don't know, we did a little bit of podcasting out there, and one of those guests was my good friend Hubert Rowland, you know, everybody's favorite redneck from Nitro Circus, Travis Pastrana's A-number one, I don't know, one of his buddies. Anyways, caught up with Hubert, Tiffany Stone and I did, and we had a ton of fun with him, so I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. Before we get to that, though, I do have to ask you guys once again, if you're tuning in, please go over there to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to this show, and make sure and subscribe to Project Action. All subscriptions help, and make sure and leave a rating or a review when you're there. If you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review, I'll see it. I'll follow you back on social media. Speaking of social media, it's at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Check out my website, downanddirtyshow.com, and my other national show that's also aired here on Podcast One as well, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So, yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. I got a fun one here with Hubert Rowland we're going to get to in a second. Before we get to that, we got to talk about some of our amazing partners here. And, you know, the Super Bowl is officially over. But the action in the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, it's heating right up. With a trade deadline looming in the NBA and March Madness just a month away, every game becomes that much more important. And I've been saying for months now, there's only one place that has all the lines and all the action that you want, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today and get a free account on betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1. And you know what? They're going to give you a 50% sign-up bonus. Yes, I said a 50% sign-up bonus. You know, and in the NHL, I'm a big hockey fan. Tampa, New York, Winnipeg, Calgary, they're currently all sitting on top of their divisions. And will Washington get a chance to repeat the Stanley Cup? Can Vegas repeat its magic form from last year and back and get back to the top? Toronto and Nashville, they're staying close too. Use your mobile device today and use the promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus. Try in-game live betting for all the fun action. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, go get some groceries, pay some bills. Here's an idea. Let's add and save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you, that is you listening right here, could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And, you know, every car comes with its share of stories. And I'm a storyteller. You know me. You know, and that ding in your bumper, well, did you nervously pick up a first date and kind of backed into the post? Well, the luxury package you got in the car, well, was that after a big promotion? Or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer to get fit? Well, you knew you couldn't put a price tag on your stories then, but you can now with TrueCar. And you'll be able to find what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. All you have to do, go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number. And it's like magic. Your card's details are going to pop right up. You'll answer a few questions. Do you have navigation or moonroof on it? Well, they'll bump up your value. High mileage? Well, you already knew it was going to cost you. But now you know how much it's actually going to hit your wallet. And you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to your local certified dealer to cash in or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. And you know what? That TrueCar offer, it is not available in all states. So thank you guys for joining us here on Project Action on Podcast One. Got some amazing guests coming up on this show. Also got next week some King of the Hammers winners and Ryan Dungy on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So lots of fun going to be had by all very, very soon across all my shows. So make sure and check them all out. But, you know, before you check those out, Let's check this out. My good friend, Hubert Rowland.
All right. We are out here with our first guest of the day out here at King of the Hammers, Mr. Hubert Rowland. I don't know. I don't even know how to, Razor Extraordinaire, Nitro Circus, Travis Pastrana's, I don't know, you keep him in line, I guess, to an extent, right? What does your business card say on it?
Kind of just a jack of all trades. I run heavy equipment, I do mechanic work, I do some UTV adventures, I try to race every once in a while. Kind of whatever keeps me busy, which is every day of the week.
we got a disclaimer here while we were, before we were going live with this interview, Tiffany and... You and Hubert would get into it because you've got your Jeep over there, and Hubert goes, oh, that's cute.
I know.
Yeah, that's a cute little Jeep you got over there.
It is pretty cute over there. And then you'd be like, it's a Jeep thing. I don't understand. You're right. I don't get it.
No.
Well, maybe if we go on an adventure together, you might understand it. I've actually taken Jim out on the Ultra 4 course in Crandon thing, and I've gotten a lot better at driving. I passed everybody on the whoop section trying to get in here today. So maybe... Maybe you could show me a thing or two in a UTV. I'll show you a thing or two in a Jeep.
You can bring your Jeep, and I bet you I can put my Polaris Razor more places than that Jeep will go.
Okay, maybe.
No, I know.
Ah!
I know.
It is on now.
Are we having an adventure time? The T-Stone and Hubert adventure time?
Yes, we should do adventures. Yeah. I went across country in Razors in a month.
I know.
All dirt roads.
I know.
What have you done?
I did a trail to SEMA. I drove 5,200 miles, 7 trails in 7 days in 4 different locations. First time wheeling ever. Second day wheeling, I took on Pritchett Canyon in Moab.
Well, that's actually pretty impressive seeing how you're fairly new to it.
I literally got the JL in June, built it up. I went to the Trail of SEMA in October, and I did everything that I possibly could, and I'm just getting better and better. But you probably are right, sir. But maybe we could go on a little Razor adventure together.
That's actually very very impressive, being new to it. I'll give you some credit there.
I can show you some videos and some pictures too.
Yeah, well, it's not real if it's not on video.
I know. If I didn't share it on Instagram, it didn't happen.
Exactly.
And I will say, she got bit by the off-road bug so hard as we're out here at the demo place for Polaris. You'll hear some Turbo S in the background, but she got bit by the off-road bug so bad, Hubert, that was supposed to actually be a build for SEMA that was getting sold after SEMA or something. And she decided that she needed to keep it because she liked it so much. And I told her, T-Stone, I said, when you're a builder, that's like the ultimate fail there. When you fall in love with your build and you've got to keep it. I said, it financially doesn't quite work well. But here we are.
I'm kind of guilty of that.
Yeah. Okay,
I was going to say, I'm talking to Hubert. He's rolling his eyes going, oh, that's me.
I'm very guilty of that. I've built a couple race razors, and I just don't want to sell them. You put so much time into them, and you built them kind of how you want them. And what you think works really well, and you kind of get attached. Like, I sold my Desert Razor this year, and it was actually pretty sad.
You were attached to that. I mean, you...
Yeah, we built the whole thing in 3 weeks. Of course I was attached to it. I slept with that thing. But at the end of the day, I'm from the East Coast, and this is on the West Coast, and it's very costly to race out here not being from here. Being from here, it definitely helps on the cost some. And at the same time, I'm not that great in the desert. 60 miles an hour, I'm good. That's fast enough. And then here comes Mitch Guthrie past me at like 90. And I'm like, man, you need to calm down. And I'm not a desert racer.
I'll
stick to the woods.
I will say, though, your strategy, and I adopted it. You and I finished, 2 years ago, 1-2 in the Terracross Championship. I think like 1 point separated us. But you and I, we like played possum the whole year. Like we'd lay up and the guys would go out, shot out of a cannon, and then 2 laps in, they'd be parked off to the side, and Jimmy and Hubert just go right by.
All Terracross season, it was Jim and Hubert out there battling each other, basically. Let everybody else wreck out. We'll make it to the end.
That was the truth. And, he finished first. I got second, by 1 or 2 points. And then there was this massive gap back to third in the championship. Because Hubert and I lost one. I DNF'd one race because I blew a belt. I don't know if you DNF'd any or not.
I DNF'd one. I rolled on my side and couldn't get back over quick enough.
Yeah, but it's a true story. Like, there was just consistency. I think probably KOH is the same way, though, out here, right? It's just...
It's very much like that. So last year I raced King of the Hammers for the first time in kind of a stock platform razor with just tougher parts. And I pre-ran I got here early last year, like a week and a half early. When I got here, there was nobody here except for Cole and his team putting things together. And I went out and pre-run the entire course. Like, all right, I got a good handle on this. Went out in my race car, took off. And got to a couple rock sections, and I'm thinking, man, this is stupid. What am I doing out here? and kind of beat me up. And, you know, we're a lot slower. I've never been in a desert, never really run in a desert. So, you know, to me, like 60, 70 miles an hour is hauling tail. Because back home in the woods, you can't run more than 45.
It's really tight.
Yeah, super tight, you know. So, we got over to Chocolate Thunder, and it was basically 3 o'clock. Like, the cutoff time was right there. We got the next checkpoint. They was like, all right, cutoff. So, whatever. So this year, I worked with my buddies at Wide Open Design. They build high-end rock crawlers and rock bouncers with V8 LS motors. And he said, I want to build a scaled-down version of a Razor, and I want to build these frames and offer them to the public, but I want everything to be bolted in. So he took a year and CAD drawed a whole Razor frame, and we built my race car here in 2 weeks. It's all based off of a Razor. It accepts all Razor parts, but it's a little bit longer for better stability. And it's kind of built around rock crawling. The bottom of it's tapered where it crawls through the rocks. So we come out here. So here we go again. Falling behind. I loaded that Razor up Monday before Hammers. It didn't even run. It was together, but it didn't run. Stopped by Mark Queen in Lake Havasu. He said, all right, try this, this, and this. Had a couple wires crossed. No big deal. Got it running. Got here. Went pre-running with Sarah Price and a bunch of them. Thing felt great. I was like, all right, we're going to do good. Took off for the race, blew a belt in the first 10 miles. I was like, oh, no, here we go. Because I don't break belts.
No, you did. Like, I mean, you were crazy your belt life last year in Best in the Desert. Like, it was insane.
I went the entire season on two belts.
Yeah,
for all of Best in the Desert.
Now, that's nuts. Most guys can't do 200 miles with two belts.
Well, granted, yes, I'm not going for the win. I'm going for finish. I've got machines at home with 7,000 miles on the original belt. So those that say that these things are not so good because of belts. Well, you're full of
it's
whatever.
All in how you drive them.
It's all in how you drive. If you've got a heavy foot, the belt's not going to last. So I've got belt life under my belt. Notice that.
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun.
Go out. We get running, and we're doing great. And we get to the last rock section, and it all falls apart. We get in a traffic jam, and we break the winch cable. And then the primary clutch got so hot, the bearing froze up.
How do you break a winch cable? That had to have been some heavy-duty winch in Hubert.
Well, when you put the front tire against a wall and expect it to pull you straight up it, it doesn't really like that too much. but at the end of the day, we got through it, and we finished barely outside of the time frame. So I'm going to consider that a win, and I'm going to consider next year pre-running only. Because it was all fun until we got to that last section. And then in that last section, there was a lot of, what am I doing out here? What is going on?
Is that where everybody's, like, crawling over the top of each other?
Yeah.
And it's just, like,
someone stuck
it's everybody for themselves,
yes,
right?
Yes, there was someone stuck in the main line. It was either crawl a wall or use them and crawl over them. I picked the wall, and, well, it didn't really work too well. So, but we finished. I'm going to count that as a win, and we're just going to go from there.
Well, that's what they say. Like, KOH, I mean – you've got to, you know, when they say, you got to finish to potentially win, or you got to finish first. But, like, it's the truth out here. Like, you have to drive to survive. You know, you can tear your stuff up in 5 miles.
Yeah, so, like, my co-driver, I had a co-driver lined up. Well, last minute, he couldn't come. He said, I just can't leave the office. Too much money gone, whatever. I was like, all right. So my buddy that built the chassis for me, he knows a lot of guys in the hill killers that do the hill climbs and stuff. And he said, one of he's going to be out there. He'll co-drive with you because he's doing the shootout race tonight in one of the big hill killers and just big rock bouncer. I was like, all right, so I got a hold of him, and he said, yeah, I'll co-drive. He's pretty loose cannon. Like, this guy's wild. and you got to be halfway wild to climb up them hills that are vertical. Oh, I bet it was 10 times. Hey, if you get tired, I'll drive. I'm like, that's all right, man. I was like, I want to get it to the end. So he gets in. Co-driving, he's watching the screen. I bet I missed 4 turns. I'm just following ruts. We get all the top of the hill. He's like, yeah, we're nowhere near the line. I was like, where were you back there? Where are you supposed to be navigating? Oh, I was looking at that mountain over there. I'm like, come on, man. Come on. Super good dude. Super good driver. Maybe not the best navigator. But he's a heck of a winch guy because he knew where to winch from, and he got us through it. So that's huge out here.
Yeah, so what happens when you snap your winch cable, like you said? You said you'd, like, tied it in a knot, right?
So, yeah, I mean, luckily, like, I'm running a heavy-duty winch rope. So you just go back to where it broke, and you tie it again close to the hook. Because if you tied it where it broke, you've got a big knot that you can't get through the winch. So we just tied it again right there at the hook and just kept going. There was a section of the rocks. It was a couple hundred feet long. I look like a puppy on a string. Like he's just walking with a winch rope and I'm following him. Because you don't want to wind it in. It takes too long to go in and out. So yeah. It was complete carnage in some areas.
I'm thinking, what is that movie right now? You got, obviously, I probably can't say that. Oh, that's a podcast, but Shitter's Full.
Yeah.
Right? That's the
yeah.
truck that's backing up past us right
yep.
now.
Yeah,
no,
so
we're all good.
Yeah, back home, they call that the honey wagon.
The honey wagon.
Uh-oh.
We got the snort. T-Stone got the first snort of the show.
Snort is coming out right now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, too funny.
So, yeah, that's my King of the Hammers experience. It's going pretty well, and now I'm the day after. A little bit of minor work to the car. We're actually going to strip it and powder coat it, and then get ready to do some more stuff, more adventures. This year I'm doing a UTV adventures kind of all over the country. We're doing a power sport safety with kids.
Nice.
To where we go into schools and talk to kids about, you know, safety. I show them a video of all the wild stuff we do on Nitro Circus, mm-hmm. and they're usually the first question is, well, how do you do that? I was like, all right, well, how do you walk? They're like, is it much thought to walk? They're like, well, no, it's easy. I was like, exactly, you had to learn,
mm-hmm.
and then you just practice and practice and practice until it's really no thought. I was like, it's kind of the same thing in stunts. And the best example I give the kids is I was like, all right, so when we do big stunts like what you saw on TV, I said, it's awesome, it's cool, all that kind of stuff. I said, we have ambulances and paramedics and doctors sitting there waiting just in case something happens. I said, we don't want anybody to get hurt, but it's, you know, whatever, it does happen. I was like, if you're out riding trails, is there a doctor sitting there waiting just in case you get hurt? And they're like, no. I was like, all right, so that's why you need to be safe. You need to wear the right helmet and stuff like that. That way, if you do happen to fall over or tip over, you won't be hurt very bad and you can still get back home. You know, you've got to be safe. So we're teaching that to kids. We're having helmet reps come in and put helmets on all the kids.
Yeah. As we see this 170 just zip by with these kids.
Yeah, he's probably running 50 in a 45.
Yeah.
Maybe in a 15, actually. But, yeah, we're doing that. The adventures. We'll do a couple races. You know, that's kind of what we're doing.
You said the stuff in the back. I know we were talking about some of the stuff in the south southeast. It's totally different than when we get out here because you guys are running through the woods and like the stuff I see is the crazy videos like the hill climb and stuff where the guys are going over backwards and tumbling backwards down the hill and like this stuff's gnarly.
Yeah, we got some rednecks that put a new meeting to wild. I'll say that. And there's no substances involved. They're just wild in the head. My co-driver yesterday was one of them. Like, you could point him at that wall over there and say, go up. And he's like, okay, how fast? I'm like, wow, okay.
He sounds like my kind of person, though.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon. There's another really well-known hill climber guy named Tim Cameron.
Okay.
Anybody can Google his videos and see. You know, him and my co-driver, they're always battling top two spots. Just nasty, straight out. Unreal stuff, but they're really good drivers. And see, back east, like, yes, King of the Hammers is hard because they give you a time frame.
Yeah.
But physically, I don't feel it's as hard because you have traction, it's dry, you're really just bottoming out over things. There's a couple fairly big climbs. Our climbs are a lot shorter, but they're nearly straight up. And then there's rocks in them also, and then there's mud. So it's kind of a different driving style. My first pre-run last year, I went out with Mitch Guthrie and Mitch Guthrie Jr. We went straight to Chocolate Thunder and they're going up it. They went around the main line and found a way up. Well, I look over here to the right and I was like, well, that doesn't look that bad. So I just start piping up through there like I would back east. You know, a lot of throttle and a lot of wheel spin, just keep it going. Got hung up, backed off in a hole, flipped straight over backwards, Mountain Dews flying everywhere. I mean, it was just carnage in front of the champion here. Like, who's this hillbilly over here doing this stuff? But I learned pretty quickly that it is a different driving style out here. It's a little more controlled.
It's kind of like finessing it all the way up.
A little
it's
more
throttle control. You got to heat up the tires because of slick rock. And once you heat up the tires, they'll be a little bit more grippy. But I've driven down in right side out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I've been out there, and it was really muddy. And that makes me nervous, which probably you're great at. But that makes me nervous because you can never know if you're going to get the grip, and you're constantly slipping.
Yeah, out here it's definitely more finesse. Back home it's quite a bit more just throttle. Just let it go, and it'll grab eventually, and momentum. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my experience and the differences. And I think both of y'all need to come back east.
I would love to.
Just come trail ride with me, and I can show you some trails that you'll be like, no way.
I need to go and literally, like, take two weeks and do this whole East Coast swing because I want to go riding with you. I know TP, about once every couple of months, we get texting together. He's like, you got to come to Pastrana Land, and you got to, you know, jump some razors, hit the track.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to go have some fun there. I want to go try. I feel like I need to because it's totally different than anything we get out here on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's different. We actually have weather.
Yeah, right?
You have no weather here. I mean, they were – So it rained the other night here, getting ready for King of the Hammers. You know, you could see the clouds coming for miles, and it was coming in a pretty steady little sprinkle, and people are flipping out. Like, the roads are flooding. End of the world. It's a hurricane. All the bread and water is off the shelves. I'm like, it's rain. And it didn't even rain half an inch.
No, it did. I'm from Detroit, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, back east, yeah, we get that in, like, just an afternoon shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're clearing the shelves. Game over. The world's ending right now. It's raining.
That is the truth. They start shutting schools down, it's like, don't go to work. The streets are going to flood.
Yeah.
And it's like, and everybody, you guys are like, yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cute. I was going down the main highway to town. There's a tractor trailer pulled over. Water's going across the road, and I'm in a Prius, like, zipping right through it, like, no big deal, move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's next level. So, yeah, that's what we got going on for this coming year.
Nice. Anything? I know you guys got some secret plans with Pastrana and Nitro Circus and stuff, correct? And nothing you can talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah. I went up to Travis's house for New Year's. We had our little New Year's get-together.
Your little New Year's get-together.
Nothing big, you know, just jumping world record stuff. That's all.
What can you tell me about this onesie bet that I've been told about?
Okay, so the onesie bet was...
Yeah, I heard that was a heck of a party.
The onesie bet is over. So... A year ago, this last New Year's, we have our buddy called, his name is Steve. We named him Comb Over Steve. The dude is 30 years old. He's straight bald down the middle of his head. He's grown his hair out so long that he can comb it straight over the side, and it covers it all up. That's Comb Over Steve. Awesome dude. Help you any way in the world. Great fabricator. He helps with wood ramps. He helps with metal ramps. He's just a great, great person. If you walked up and seen him, you'd kind of be scared of him. He's got tattoos, you know, but he's a great person inside. Well, he wore a onesie for 3 days straight, our last New Year's party. He had a squirrel onesie, a PBR onesie, you know, whatever. So we're sitting there at breakfast the day after New Year's, and one of our buddies said, you've been wearing a onesie for 3 days straight. I'll bet you won't wear a onesie to bed every night for a year and send it to us on a group chat picture. He took that bet. So a whole bunch of us threw in a dollar. We have a group text that has 365 pictures of him in a onesie. He did it every night for a year. He even had a little Instagram post for a little while. He won
$37. $37.
The best $37 he ever won, too, I bet.
And you know what? He's fully about the bet, not about the money, because he spent a $40 Uber ride to get back home just to get his onesie one night. So that's all about the bet, you know, the principle. And so he cashed out on his onesie bet for this New Year's, and we were like, all right, double down, do it again. He's like, nope,
I'm
done with
it.
The onesie. It's hanging on the trophy wall at Travis's bar.
You know, that's what's funny, and what I've learned about Trav, just, you know, and being around him and anything I've done with him, there's always got to be a bet involved. It doesn't even – it's got to be – some of them are just meaningless bets, but yes. There's – the bet has to happen.
Yeah.
And we're not talking it has to be big money. There's just got to be a bet.
No, it's never the money. It's the principle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just putting something on the line to make you try a little bit harder. People have asked numerous times, you know, where did Nitro Circus come from? What does it mean? I don't know. Like every analyst, they always want to have a meaning behind something. Well, there's really no meaning behind Nitro Circus. Travis's goal with Nitro Circus is for him and his friends to hang out, have fun, push each other past their limits, and everybody get paid. That's all his goal is, and just to be able to hang out with his friends and no one have to worry about anything. And so that's what he's created. And, you know, there's a pretty tight group of probably about 20 of us as an extended group. Hang out, have fun, you push each other to the limits. And, of course, He's the jester of all of it. Jim Beaver, you can walk upright? Yeah, you can flip, no problem, let's go. wait a minute, I have no gymnastic experience. Yeah, but you can walk. Have you ever backflipped on a trampoline? Well, no, I tried once. Oh, that's perfect. You're on the right path. So he definitely likes to try to push people beyond what they would normally do. And he doesn't want no one to get hurt, but, he pushes people to challenge themselves.
What's the craziest thing? Because I've asked Tommy this question before, and I can't even remember his answer because he had quite a few responses. What's the craziest thing he's pushed you to do? Because I know there's videos of you crashing quads and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I mean, so I backflipped a four-wheeler on the Nitro Circus movie. The initial goal was to do a little bit more, but I had a single flip. So he was like, all right, do that. He said at that time there was probably only 10 people in the world backflipping four-wheelers. So I did it. I landed. My shoulder came out. But I still landed and rode away, and people come up to me, I saw you flip that four-wheeler, and you were crying. I was like, let me pull your shoulder out and see how you feel. All right, it hurt. All right, whatever. And, of course, his dad's over there yelling at me, are your legs broke? I was like, no. He's like, well, then why can't you walk? I'm like, because my shoulder hurts like no other. I don't know if you've ever pulled your shoulder out, but it's a pain that, if you break a bone or, do something with your wrist, you can usually put it in a location where it doesn't hurt as bad. It's kind of resting. Not your shoulder because it's not supposed to be there. It doesn't feel better until it gets back in the socket. So, whatever, we got that. And then my second response is, can you flip a four-wheeler? Yeah, I didn't think so don't worry about it, all right? So I don't really consider that crazy, but most people would. But then again, I'm around it every day. I see flips and all that kind of stuff. So we're all kind of related to what's crazy. It's only crazy until you get used to it. And the head guy of Jackass, Johnny Knoxville, and then Jeff Tremaine, they told us when we were filming the TV show, they were like, all right, so – it's only crazy until you're used to it. And then you just keep pushing the envelope further and further. He said before long, they were doing, stapling post-it notes to each other. He's like, in the beginning, it was like, no way. And then it's like, yeah, why not? So it kind of all relates like that. I would say one of the craziest things I did is, Travis, we were up at Idaho Falls. There's a bridge over there over the canyon that Evel Knievel tried to jump over and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's legal to base jump off of that bridge. We're up there filming for Nitro. I think it was the third or fourth one. And they've already jumped off the top of a semi-truck off into the canyon, pulled the parachute, all that kind of stuff. And we had Eric Rohner there at that time. He was kind of our guide because, that was, his expertise. And Rohner was such a good dude as far as just keeping everybody on the straight and narrow and keeping them safe and stuff like that. So he's like, all right, Hubert, you, and you, y'all jump off the bridge with parachutes. He said, we'll film it. I'm like, yeah, why not, I guess, whatever. So that was probably the craziest thing I've ever actually experienced and done because I went skydiving with them once before, and I kind of understood it, but I really just didn't get much out of it. Like, all right, we're jumping out of a plane. It's windy, and that's about it. You have no sense of falling because there's nothing to determine off of. So we did that. And then we come up, and he said, all right, we're base jumping off the thing, and I'm sitting there at the edge, and it's me, Travis's dad, and I forget, someone else. And Robert's over there just yelling, come on, you got to jump. And I'm like, God, he's not going to show any kind of emotion whatsoever. I was just kind of blank and just kind of keeping quiet. And Eric's over there telling me the procedure with the parachute, and he's like, all right, you're not really going to have to do anything. We're going to hold the pilot chute, so when you jump, it automatically comes out. He said, you just reach up, you pull the toggles loose, and that's how you steer. And just kind of steer over close to the edge and land in the water. Okay, that sounds good. I was like, so these things, they always open up, right? He's like, yeah, they're designed to open up. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of a shortfall. It's only 500 feet. He said, but, we've got it. We've done it tons of time. It'll be all right. I was like, hey, that's good. I said, because if it doesn't open up, it's your fault, not mine. He was like, oh, you can't say that. You can't be like that. I'm like, well, it's true. Because I'm only jumping, and that's it.
You told me all I had to do was jump, not do anything else.
I was like, if it does, it's on you. And he got all nervous. I was like, look, it's all right, man. It'll be fine. So Travis is over there. He's like, so who's going first? I was like, whatever, I'll go first. So I just hop over the rail, and I'm holding on, and they held the pilot chute. And I jumped straight out, and they told me, whatever you do, look towards the horizon, because if you look down, you'll kind of nosedive. So I was like, all right. So I jumped straight out. And the falling sensation really didn't even happen because it opened so quickly. So I reach up, I grab the things, and I'm kind of steering my way down, but I didn't want to pull it so hard that it would spin. So I pulled it very gradually. Well, that doesn't do anything with a parachute. You got to collapse the whole side. I landed directly in the middle of the Snake River, and I can barely swim. And I didn't have a parachute on. I mean, I did have a parachute on, but I didn't have a life jacket on. So how do you think that went? Yeah, Robert's up there yelling, he's going to die. Because he can barely swim.
And it had nothing to do with the jumping. It had nothing to do with the parachute. It had all to do with that you landed in the middle of the water.
It all had to do with the water was really cold and I didn't have swim classes when I was five. But we had a guy on the shore. He swam out to me. He released a chute off to me. I kicked my shoes off. And he swam right next to me. And I doggy paddled about half a football field to the edge of the river. And I doggy paddled. I was still doggy paddling in the cattails in the weeds. Oof. Because I knew if I was going to stand up, I'd probably sink and I probably wouldn't come back up. When I stood up, the water was waist deep.
So the moral of the story is Huber can backflip things. Do you want to really take him out of his element? Just take him swimming.
So we can't go to a pool or anything like that.
Yeah, note to self, I don't mess the water too much.
So when we go on our little adventures, we have to stay away from the water.
I'm not really a water fan. Like, showers are great, but maybe a pool, maybe a good lifeguard.
Yeah.
Hot tub, it's not that deep.
That's not too deep.
It's warm.
If I base jump again over a river, I will have water wing floaties on my arms.
Ooh.
That would be funny just because.
Just in general. We should have had them.
Oh, you need the floaties and then one of those little kitty inner tubes, like one with a little unicorn or something.
Yes, that's what we need.
I'm going to get you one. If we ever meet again or if we ever do some adventure.
Oh, we're going to meet because we're going to go riding.
Okay, I'm going to get you water wings and I'm going to get you. You know what we should do? We should get the big, big inflatable unicorn one that you could just lay on. That's what you should do. Base jump with the unicorn.
You can't do that because it's going to block the parachute.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Now you could try to
Who
land.
Who needs a parachute anyways,
You could try to land in it.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. Look at all these ideas we're coming up with.
We're all three going to get together in the east, and we're going to take y'all riding in Razors, and you can bring your pretty little Jeep out there, and I'll show you where it can't go. And if you really want a four-wheeler, we'll take you out, and we'll beat some body panels up on it.
We
need
four-wheelers.
To do this because it's always been my – and TP and I have talked about this. They said, you know what I want to do? I said – I want to go to TP's. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I said, one evening, when everybody's got drinks going, I said, I want everybody, like, I want to get a microphone and put it in the center of the table and get Hubert, Tommy, TP, Jolene. I want to get everybody, all the OGs, just sitting around the table and us just shooting this shit and telling stories. I think it will be the greatest.
That'll be the record post right there.
No, and TP's like, dude, we've never done that. I'm like, well, you have, but not actually, you know, put a microphone.
Yeah, we never record it, and some of the stuff you don't want to hear.
No, and it'll be all taped so we can edit some of it out if we have to, but that's my dream. I swear that's like, you want a viral podcast right there, that's the one.
Oh, man, we have endless stories, and like, this all started, I've been helping Travis almost 16 years now.
I was going to say, you've been around for, I mean, damn near the beginning. They were talking Godfrey when he was in, you were there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm almost 16 years I've been helping Travis. I'm a certified technician through Wyotech. I went there for motorcycle mechanics. And I had a lot of jobs around back home, worked for the water department. I run heavy equipment and all that kind of stuff. And I raced all on my own. I raced motocross. That's kind of how I started. And I didn't get to race unless I bought my own stuff. And it's kind of just built my way up, and then I took a job for a pro racer, Steffi Ball, that raced against Jolene, and that's kind of my initial meeting. She introduced me to Jolene, and I met Travis, and then they invited me up there, and I started helping out, and I kind of never left, and that was kind of initially where it all started from. And thanks to her, I met Travis, and thanks to him, I've seen more stuff than most people see. See, I see more stuff in a year than most people see in their life.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just very, very grateful. Travis and his whole mentality of Nitro Circus and just all our friends, it's just unreal. And I wish everyone could have that kind of experience with just good friends. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to go out and break world records, but just go out and have great experiences with great people.
And
it goes a long ways.
And I've been fortunate that – I can't say I'm a part of the group, but I've been invited to, you know, I've got friends in you and Tommy and Wessel and Travis and Jolene. And it's like, I've got to know people in the group, and it's, once you're welcome in there, it's just, I mean, I've just got to experience things, and it's just the stories and things like that and the camaraderie. I mean, to me, it's something special, and you don't see that very often.
Yeah. There's a pretty fine line on who's invited and who's not. You got to have a cool factor. You got to be mellow, but you got to have some sort of motor skills. And so I'm questioning you because.
Wait. The cool factor or the mellow?
The cool factor.
What about the mellow factor?
The mellow, I don't know. I don't know
you
that
well.
Am I
mellow, Jim?
You're mellow. She's really like anybody. She's peaks and valleys.
If you get to really, really know me, then I'm not as
mellow.
She
can amp it up when she needs to, but she can be down here when she
needs to. That's fine. As far as the motor skills, well, that's to be determined.
It will be.
Because you say you're new to Jeeps, and that's fine. That's great. Do you have any kind of two-wheel experience outside of a bicycle? Yeah, that delay says no.
No, but I'm pretty good at Razors. I got a chance to drive the RS1s when they first came out at ERX. Took those out.
I didn't get invited to that. That was such
a
bummer. Travis went, and he was sending me pictures that morning of y'all at ERX, like pictures of him, and I was like, shut up, man. Just shut up. Get away from me.
Well, I'll show you. I'm here all week, so maybe you and I can end up going out. I'll show you how to wheel a little bit. And when you get to that vertical wall, all you have to do is just warm up those tires a little bit, put it in four low, front and rear lockers, disconnect that sway bar.
If you're that confident, we're getting in that Jeep and we're going straight to Outer Limits where I had all those wheel problems. And you're going to show me how to go up it then.
I have groceries still in my cooler right now.
I carry tools and snacks. Ask any Desert Razor here. They're like, well, Hubert's not that fast because he carries tools and snacks.
I got snacks, too.
Okay.
Snacks.
I'm going for miles per gallon award, getting the best.
I will tell you this. Any race car I'm ever in, there is always two beers hidden in there. No joke, because you never know when you're going to get stranded out there. And I always throw a couple of granola bars and a couple of beers in there. And you never know when you're going to get stranded. And if I'm stuck pulling an all-nighter, I at least want one beer.
I have two cans of Vienna sausages and some crackers.
Okay. Ooh.
See, he's smart.
I know.
That's actually sustainable. That'll keep you going.
That'll keep
me
going for another
couple
hours.
I'm just going to get a buzz and hell with it.
I bring water and vegetables and almonds.
That's all fine.
That works too. But I do have a fridge freezer in my Jeep and a trail oven. So I could make food on the trails if need be.
Well, them womanly skills still sticking strong.
You know, I look like a girl. I talk like a girl sometimes. But deep down inside, I think I'm just a boy.
Well, I don't know.
Did I get you speechless over here? I
don't know what to say. I'm going to just keep my mouth shut.
Are you blushing or is it
no,
the red
I'm not
eye?
Blushing. I'm just
his mind's wandering.
I'm just not going to say too much.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time here, man. It is always fun. I can't wait to do some adventures with you. Super stoked on what you got planned this year. And congrats, I guess, on the finish here at Hammers, buddy.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for letting me be part of this. Thanks, Polaris Razor, for putting y'all on. And for, you know, everyone here at King of the Hammers, it's a frustrating race. But it's awesome at the same time. You know, I encourage people that want to try it, go pre-run it first, and then you won't want to try it no more. But, yeah, thank you all so much. I really appreciate it.
Always a little bit of fun catching up with everybody's favorite redneck, Hubert Rowland. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. Hopefully you like the show. And if you like this show, you know, my friends at Podcast One, they've got a lot of shows that you're probably going to like. And, you know, as you rev up your engine with the start of NASCAR season, it's just around the corner, Daytona 500. We'll have a lot of coverage there at downanddirtyshow.com. But, you know, Podcast One is your pit stop for the best car podcasting around. My buddy Adam Carolla and his friends on CarCast, well, they explore all aspects of the automotive space from car buying to news about the industry. And then, you know, my good friends with Motorsports Talk, you can check out Down and Dirty Show, or you can check out Shift and Steer. And then you've got Spike's Car Radio. My good friend was a guest on his show. You should go over and listen to that. Spike Ferriston hosts a roundtable with all his celebrity friends about all things cars. Download CarCast, Spike's Car Radio every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And, yeah, you know, join all my friends over there on Podcast One. And, you know, check out all the shows. Lots of fun. Love podcasting. And I love that we can all jump on each other's shows at any given time. Lots of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. Big thanks to BetOnline.ag, Geico, TrueCar, all our supporters here. Make sure and go over to iTunes. Hit the subscribe button to Project Action and the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media. And we're going to take, I don't know, guess we're going to call it a week here. But we'll be back next week with more Down and Dirty Show and more Project Action right here on Podcast One. Thanks a lot for tuning in. See you next week.